Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys.
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Action.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I hope you're doing well. We're a little late to recording in January.
Yep, sure are.
But we're happy to be here.
We are. So we actually were, well, I was ready to record on December 31st when Lainey came over for New Year's, but she wasn't ready, and I knew I could actually do a little bit better for my part. So
I was really doing it for you guys so you get a better story.
Yeah, quality over quantity.
Yes. But anyways, I am talking, we're going to Tennessee today. I don't think we've done Tennessee yet, have we?
Yeah, we've done like the Bell Witch. That's in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. That's news to me.
So anyway, back to Tennessee, guys.
Okay. So we're going to 680 Adams Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, to the Woodruff Fontaine Grand 5-story French Victorian Mansion. And this time, I have a picture for you, Ashley.
That's like the Adams family house.
Oh, yeah.
That is interesting. I love it.
Yeah, me too. I think it's really pretty. But yeah, I'll show you guys on Instagram. It's a really pretty house. So the story goes, Woodruff and his brother arrived in Memphis.
Wait, where's it? Oh, this is in Memphis. I was going to say, yes. Like, where in Tennessee was this? Sorry.
Yes. So Woodruff and his brother arrived in Memphis with ambition. They came to grow their carriage-making business, which...
There's jobs that aren't around anymore.
I know.
I like learning about jobs that don't exist anymore.
I know. Especially, like, these people made millions of dollars from it. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
But before long, the brother actually fled back to New Jersey, leaving Amos Woodruff behind to face the city alone.
That's nice.
And there he thrived.
In New Jersey?
No. Amos Woodruff thrived in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wait, who fled to New Jersey?
His brother that came with him.
Oh, okay.
He basically traveled down to Memphis and then...
I was like, this isn't for me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you said he fled, so I didn't know if he, like, committed a crime or was he like, it's a bit toasty here, let me go back up to Jersey?
I don't know. You can...
Or was it weather related?
I don't know.
Dang. I need the backstory. Why'd he leave his brother?
I don't know. I'm sure he left him with well wishes.
Okay.
But arriving in Memphis in 1845, Woodruff proved to be an energetic and relentless entrepreneur. Hmm. His carriage business became wildly profitable, and soon his reach spread into construction, cotton, lumber, life insurance, banking, railroads, and even hospitality.
How are you going to do all that?
I know. He's like,
was he good at all of
it? He's like the king in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. I'm assuming he was good at it. He organized and he ran two banks. He controlled Memphis and Ohio Railroad, and he opened the Overton Hotel. So this man has lived many lives.
Yeah.
I find one job exhausting. I can't imagine.
I always find that interesting when you're like, so like split focused. You got a lot of different things that you're focusing on.
And like your customer base is entirely different.
Yeah.
You have to like change your personality kind of.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. Like in my job, I have to change my personality enough to like talk to a lawyer and like somebody in construction or manufacturing, like my personality changes, but it's not like that. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, that's a lot. Everything, I don't know, because like I went from teaching and then into real estate, but in real estate, there's a lot of teachers or former teachers. And then I just kind of became a teacher for real estate. So yeah. I feel like it's still kind of all the same. I'm just teaching on like different things, I guess.
Yeah.
Because my degree is actually in education. It's not in, so I don't know. So I could see like me being a little bit into like multiple industries if it becomes education related, but yeah, that's a lot of different things. Like how are you going to be knowledgeable about the railroad and hospitality and baking and carriage making?
Yeah. Well, it's also simpler times. Maybe everything was a little simpler.
I guess. You didn't tell me what he does in railroad. I guess he could just be, these could be like his investments. He could be just investing in these things.
Yeah.
Well, does money work for him?
Exactly. His enterprise has employed countless citizens and fueled Memphis's booming growth. He was admired, powerful, and Woodruff was elected to city council, and he ran for mayor twice.
And politics, yes.
Why
not?
To match his status, Woodruff purchased land to build a home worthy of his success. Construction moved swiftly with no delays, no excuses. In just 1 year, 1870 to 1871, he built the grand five-story French Victorian mansion, and he crowned it with a looming mansard roof, which I believe was the Adams family that Ashley was talking about earlier.
Oh.
I think that's what it is. I don't know. I don't know what a mansard roof is.
Hang on. The four-sided roof with slopes on each side.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was it correct?
See
was
those
that Adams
here.
Family? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's the Adam family looking look.
Okay. So the house was large and imposing. A central tower watched over the grounds, and inside there were 18 large rooms, three great halls, spaces designed for lavish parties that echoed with laughter and music.
What size does it have to be a great hall? What makes it great? What size are we looking at, do you think?
I imagine the ceilings are really tall. Like, you can't have a 8-foot ceiling. I would imagine the ceilings are probably what make it grand. I mean, it's large, I assume, but...
Yeah, for sure.
But it's got to be tall. I need a tall hall.
Grand scale, high ceilings, multifunctional use as a central hub for dining, socializing, and administration is what the Google AI says.
Administration. I don't like that to describe my home.
Yeah. This is for administration? Nah.
No, thank you. Skilled craftsmen shaped every detail, machine-carved solid cypress woodwork, original cypress floors, and high above the third-floor staircase, a hauntingly beautiful hand-hammered tin ceiling embossed with a classical design.
Sounds really pretty.
It does. Behind the mansion stood a carriage house with additional buildings. Today they host weddings and celebrations, but the courtyard, with its fountains and garden, has witnessed far more joy. Couples now exchange vows in the front lawn, unaware of the sorrow that's soaked into the soil beneath their feet. So Amos and his wife raised four children in the home, three daughters. Sarah Meeker, known as Sally, Mary Louise, known as Molly, and Cora Bell, she gets no nickname.
Oh.
I know. And Frank Leith.
Frank Leith?
Frank Leith.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Kay.
That's a girl?
No, it's a boy.
I thought you said three daughters. Did you say three daughters and a son?
No, it says three daughters, naming, and then a son.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and one son, Frank Leith. I don't know if I said that, and one son.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay. You did say that, so I was like, oh, that's a weird girl's name.
Yeah. The family lived there until 1883, and at first the house was full of promise. In 1871, the mansion hosted its first wedding when daughter Molly got married. She became Molly Woodruff Henning, and the house would eventually become hers. Molly and her husband, Egbert Woolridge Henning.
Egbert.
I love that name, Egbert.
That's
such a grandpa name, but it is. I love it.
That sounds like a name I would name one of my dogs, which is, to no offense, my dogs have people names. I love a good people name dog.
Yeah, Egbert is so cute. They moved into the second floor, so they lived with her parents. But tragedy soon crept in. In 1875, Molly gave birth to a son who died shortly after of yellow fever after entering the world.
Oh.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Mere months later, Egbert was badly injured in a boating accident, and he returned home but never recovered. Pneumonia took his life inside the house.
How old was he?
I don't know their ages. See if we can do some math here. No.
No, no math to be done.
No math.
That's very short-lived.
I know.
So we gave up on math.
Okay, where was I now? Okay. Loss followed Molly wherever she went. She remarried in 1883 to James Henning, and she moved away. But shortly after, she had a second baby, and it died as well after birth.
Oh, God. I could not be a woman back in the day.
I know. And this next sentence, it just breaks my heart. She endured 3 miscarriages and 2 stillbirths. And she never had a living child.
Oh, 5 pregnancies?
That's 5 plus the 2 babies that died. So that's...
Wait, I thought you said 3 miscarriages and 2 stillbirths. And then she had 2 babies that, like...
That died
after. Okay, like, yeah. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
7! Oh my gosh!
That's so sad. It's said that after Molly's death, her spirit returned to the Woodruff Fontaine house because it was the only place she ever truly knew happiness. Which, that breaks my heart. I always think about Grandma... Like, having one husband that you love and they die, and then you remarry, and then you die, and then you go back to when you lived with your husband.
Yeah.
The first one. I don't know.
The people listening have no context to what you're saying.
I know.
Our grandma, when she passed away, our biological grandfather died when our dad was 11, so we never met him. And he was buried in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then our grandma moved here, and with her new husband, who we knew to be our grandfather. And then when she died, she ended up getting buried with her first husband, and our papa, who we knew to be our grandfather, but our dad's stepdad, is buried here.
All alone. Oh, okay. That's not enough.
I don't know what to say about it, you know? Like, I see both sides, you know? But I think Papa knew that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that was in her plan the whole time. I don't think that was... So I think it's okay.
Okay. Let's move on. That's not getting any
happier.
They're
all chilling in heaven. Just their bones are here. It's cool.
That's true. By the 1870s, disaster struck Memphis. The yellow fever epidemic in 1878 and a devastating cold panic crippled fortunes, including the Woodruffs. In 1883, the family exchanged homes with the Noland Fontaine family, moving to 103 Madison Street. Nearly a decade later, in 1892, the Woodruffs sold the mansion outright to the Fontaines. So we've got another family moving into this house.
Okay. Fontaines.
The Fontaines. And they were much more blessed, I would say. Nolan Fontaine and his wife, Virginia, had married in 1864, and they raised 10 children. Fontaine owned the highly successful Hill Fontaine Company, the third largest cotton supply firm in Memphis. Their daughter, also named Molly, married Dr. William W. Taylor in 1886. The Fontaines gifted the newlyweds a mansion built directly across the street, the Molly F. Taylor House. The Woodruff Fontaine House changed hands again in 1929, selling for $25,000 to become an antique shop.
Wow.
Which, yeah.
1929, that's the crash.
If you see the house, too, like, that's awesome. I could live there. But I couldn't fix it up or anything. I would just die.
I know, it'd be like Downton Abbey. Or they'd be like, well, we can't pay for a roof.
I'd be like those old ladies. What's that movie? Oh, I can't think of it. And I'm just going to cause a lot of silence. It's the...
Who's in it? Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. The one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Duplex? No, not Duplex. No. Damn it.
Lord, sorry. My memory has just gotten terrible.
Your stories today have been really broken.
I know.
You're like, what's his name? Yeah. And then he did a... What's it called? I guess it was a really good story. Okay. I totally was talking about Duplex because they were like trying to fix it up or whatever. And then all the crap happens and the old lady is like ruining their life.
No.
Okay.
It's not a funny movie.
Why were we talking about it again?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, then it's super weird. We both were like Drew Barrymore, but we were talking about 2 different movies. No,
Drew. Yeah, she is in it, I think. It's got Jessica Lange in it, too, as her mom. Okay.
What?
Yes. It's a sad movie. It's based on a real story.
Oh, well, I don't watch sad movies, so.
Okay. All right.
That was all for nothing and unproductive.
But the stock market crashed and the business never opened. That's the antique shop. So the house stood silent once more with its grand rooms empty. Entrepreneur Rosalie later purchased the house for her free art school, which sounds like would have been a lot of fun to go to.
Yeah.
When the school relocated to the Overton Park in 1959, the mansion was abandoned again. In 1961, the home was a ghost of itself, desperately needing care. Salvation finally came in 1962 when the Association and Preservation of the Tennessee Antiquities purchased the property and began restoration. 2 years later, in 1964, the mansion reopened as a museum, and that's what it is today.
Okay.
It is still a functioning museum. So today, the Woodruff Fontaine House stands restored and admired, but many believe it's not empty. The walls have heard too much, and the halls have seen too much. And some spirits...
you became the Grudge.
And some spirits, they say, never truly left. Sorry, I was reading as that the spirits were saying.
The spirits were like, we didn't leave.
That was like, what did I write? But online sources say there were 5 deaths in the house. Molly Woodruff's unknown baby, Egbert Woolridge, which is Molly's first husband, Nolan Fontaine, Elliot Fontaine, and Virginia Fontaine. Staff members suggest there were probably more deaths, noting that the birth dates of some of the living children imply deaths of earlier unnamed infants or stillbirths. And as such, records in that regard are likely incomplete. After Molly's death in 1917, people began to notice strange things in the old Woodruff Fontaine house, especially in the Rose Room, which was Molly's room. According to those who work in there, a young woman has been seen by children on tours in Molly's old room. So be careful about taking your children on this visit.
Interesting.
Staff members often hear odd noises there and occasionally smell a woman's perfume. From time to time, people will walk into the Rose Room and find the sheets on the bed disheveled, as if someone had just laid down. It was reported that this female entity likes to sit on her bed, as there are impressions left on the bedspread.
Oh, that's always weird. Can I tell you that's one thing that I feel like happens to me pretty frequently, where I sleep with a sleep mask on.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I can't just, like, open, you know, I can open my eyes, but my eyes are blocked. And I feel somebody sit on the bed, and so I always assume it's Casey, and then I, like, pull my eye mask, and nobody's there.
That's so scary. I would hate that.
Like, that literally happens to me at least every couple weeks.
Mm-mm.
And it's super strange.
That's why I don't sleep with an eye mask on. Oh. Although I did wear your earplugs when Julie stayed the night.
Oh, wait, the loops?
Yes.
Oh, you know they're not like full earplugs. You're not supposed to still hear.
I can.
Did yeah. it? Okay. I just want, in case you were like, this is a bad product.
No, it was in the middle of the night. I was like, my God, she snores so loud. And I went and got them off my table. I was like, time to open these.
I mean, it'll muffle it some, but yeah. No, I have full earplugs because every now and then, Casey will snore pretty loud, but not always.
Yeah.
But my bedroom is like where, like my bedroom faces the backyard. So like if my kids are playing outside or something, it feels really loud. So like if I want to take a nap or something, I hate. Like when they're swimming, like happens in the summer, like they'll be swimming and I want to be like, swim silently. So I'll just like put my earplugs in if Casey's, Casey's awake. It's not being irresponsible. Like he's awake, he's paying attention. Kids are also a little bit older. But anyway, yeah, that's what I have my full earplugs for.
That reminded me of... like, Mom, she would have told us to shut the fuck up if she was trying to nap.
That's true. That's true.
So, it was...
that was a funny thing to bring up.
Sorry.
Mom would have just told us to shut the fuck up. Why don't you get some earplugs?
Yes. Anyways, this female entity likes to sit on her bed as there are impressions left on the bedspread. The bed is roped off so the living can't sit on it during a tour or any time that people are in the Woodruff Fontaine House Museum. She once appeared in her room and explained in a kindly manner, which is so cute, to the rather startled people of the museum how her furniture was originally arranged, suggesting she would like it in this traditional arrangement.
Mm.
She also likes to wander the mansion, checking up on what the living are up to. And like a good hostess, will follow the interesting people around in her home. Which, that kind of reminded me of you as a ghost.
Oh.
Like what is this person up to?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a busybody, I guess.
You are.
Wow. Am I a busybody?
You are.
Like, I mean, like, in what way do you mean that?
You're always busy with your body.
Oh my God. You couldn't even get that out. Like, I'm nosy? Like,
no, you're literally always busy. Like, you're always doing something. Right. Like, you can't just sit.
It's annoying.
It is annoying.
Okay. Yeah, you're a little too agreeable.
But then we have a male ghost. A staff member had said her necklace ripped off her neck.
What?
By an unseen presence who gives off hostile vibes. It seems death hasn't changed his personality or given him any new virtues to embrace. But we're not.
Well, do we know who it is?
Not entirely. I think I know who it is, but I'll get to it. So Miss Williams, who is the, this is a quote I took from her. She is the tour guide.
Mm.
She stated, as she came up the staircase, there was a man sitting at the foot of the stairs to the fourth tower room. It was very, very, I don't know what the word is, beyond frightening. Initially, she thought it was a guest that had been locked in the museum after it closed. But the man was completely lifelike, not translucent as some spirits are. And then she realized it was an apparition of Elliot Fontaine, the son of the second family to live in the mansion, and she recognized through photographs. Miss Elena closed her eyes, opened them, and she was gone. And I had Miss Williams, so I don't know if her name is Miss Elena or Miss Williams. I messed that up.
Okay.
But yeah, that is the story of the Woodruff Fontaine House Museum.
Sounds like a quirky place.
It does sound quirky. I was going for scary, and I started looking up Demon's Road, and then we had done...
Yeah, we've done it.
We did that September 2023.
That's funny.
So yeah, I went to this house, and I don't know. I'd like to go. It does sound quirky. It sounds cool. Like, I would
The build of it's really cool looking. I like that Addams Family style. It's just unique.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to see that. It sounds like there's a lot of haunting stuff in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do a tour.
Yeah.
One day. Tennessee's on my list, but it's kind of far away. There's other places, like, I'd love to go to Ireland.
Well, don't worry, Tennessee. I visited you and it was lovely.
Good. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed it. It's not my scary. I feel like I like to do a lot of the scary ones, but I hope it was good for you.
It was good for me.
Good.
Yeah. No, the quirky ones, like, there's always interesting, like, who knows, like, what's going on there, but, like, that's really close to getting into, like, the Appalachian Mountains and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that have gone on there, because
yeah,
the area, like, just the region is so old.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love going to that area. And we're kind of going to be near that area for the next episode when we Woo-hoo. Get into the Bridgewater Triangle. The Tales of the Triangle is coming back.
Yay, I'm excited. I love triangles.
Yes. So, we will see you guys in the next episode. Hope you're having an amazing winter. It's so far pretty dull. Here in Texas, we're supposed to get maybe a question mark our first freeze tonight.
I hope so.
But probably not. I mean, well, I don't know. I'm not really looking for freezing.
I'm looking for cold. I would like to wear my boots and a jacket for like 2 weeks straight, and then winter can be over.
2 weeks straight. Ugh.
I want to be so
but then,
cold.
But then the constant weather change is annoying. I feel like everyone gets sick when that happens too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been an interesting kind of mild winter. So we'll see. See what February has in store. That is when we've had, like, the 2021 freeze was in February.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually our coldest month. So, all right. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe. And if you have not already, please go rate and review us on whatever your podcast platform is, really. Apple.
Yeah.
I almost said Instagram. Not Instagram.
I know you can't do it on Spotify, I don't think.
You can.
Okay, you can't on Amazon, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know about Amazon.
Okay, I thought you were going to say you can. I was like, well, fuck me.
I can't remember. I haven't reviewed it. If I have reviewed anything on Amazon, it was not recently. So that's not top of mind right now. So, and if you have not, go follow us at haunted.real.estate, and you can find us there too. If you have any episode suggestions or anything like that, send us an email at hauntedrepod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And yeah, that's it.
Have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Bye.